So today I'll be talking about leprosy. And maybe that's a off topic for the Feast of Tabernacles, but maybe not. The actual title is Leprosy, Sin, and Faith. And we will see today what exactly these three subjects have to do with each other. I'm going to start today by going through a few stories of leprosy, and then I'll move on to what God told Moses about leprosy and how to deal with it, and then we will finish up by looking at what faith has to do with it. So let's get going here. We've got a long journey ahead of us. I'm sorry, Michael, for the time I will be taking today. Let's see if I leave you any time left. If you turn to Numbers 12 and verse 1, we will start our journey here. The story starts off with Miriam and Aaron and Moses, and they're in the middle of the wilderness, still traveling towards the promised land. They haven't quite reached it yet. So we read in Numbers 12 and verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And so they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. In verse 3, now the man Moses was a very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. In verse 4, and suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. And we recently had these Mr. Link's sermons on the tabernacle. And so then the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Now, this had to be pretty scary for both Aaron and Miriam. And we see here that they were both complaining against Aaron, and Miriam was being very critical of Aaron. But she was complaining against Moses, who was God's anointed. We read in verse 6 what God has to say about this. Then he said, that is God, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. I speak with him even plainly and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Because God spoke with Moses and only Moses, this led to feelings of envy in Miriam and Aaron's minds. We see that it was Miriam who instigated this rebellion, but Aaron followed her. But this displeased God immensely. So we read in verse 9, chapter 12, "So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper." Those days, leprosy was a very, very terrible disease that came. How do we know that this is sin? I will quote for you 1 Samuel 15:23, and it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." And also 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. "And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." So we can see from this first story, what happened first was the thought of sin. They were envious of Moses. And then actual sin. speaking against Moses, and then came to the punishment. Continue in verse 11. So Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. Verse 13, so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, then she would not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. And so Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. So we see that it was after Aaron's realization that he and Miriam had sinned, that he pleaded for forgiveness, and Moses was able to cry to God and ask for healing. But Miriam still had to pay the price for sin and stay out of the camp for 7 days with this leprosy. That concludes the first story. So now we'll be going to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 5. Second Kings 5, verses 1 through 27. I don't plan to read all these verses, but here we have the story of a man named Naaman. And he was a commander of the army of the king of Assyria. Syria. And it says in verse 1 that he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because of him, the Lord had given him victory to Syria. But as he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. In verse 2, continuing with the story, it says, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young woman from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. In verse 3, and then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he could heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman here is told of a way to where he can cure his leprosy. So he goes to his king and says, you know, I think I know a way where I can cure my leprosy. And so the king of Assyria says, well, go. See if, you know, if it works. So we continue in verse 5. And the king of Assyria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And so he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing, which was most likely worth a great sum back then. And he goes to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel gets pretty distressed because he says, do I have the power to heal you? But Elisha, who was the prophet of Israel in those days, heard of it. And so if we continue in verse 8, and so it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please, let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 9, so Naaman went with his house, horse and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. So we see a very important lesson here. Elisha would not even come out of his house, but he sent a messenger to Naaman. Because of this, continuing on the story, Naaman became furious because he was looking for some great sign from Elisha. And Elisha's God. But here Elisha told him, no, go your way, wash yourself 7 times, and you'll be healed. Continuing in verse 11, Naaman became furious and said, went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand out and call the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. And then he complains about, aren't the rivers of his own land better than the Jordan? So he finally comes to the realization that, you know, might as well give it a try. And he does. And continuing in verse 14, we read, "So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his aides, and came and stood before him," that is Elisha, "and he said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant.'" And verse 16, "But he said, 'As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused." And he thought it was because of Elisha somehow that he should offer him money for what he had done. But Elisha said, "No, it is God who heals." So if we continue in verse 19, the story doesn't quite end here. Naaman here really wasn't the point of what I'm trying to get at. So we continue in verse 19. We read of a man named Gehazi, who was Elisha's servant. Verse 19, "Then he said to him, 'Go in peace,' and he departed from him a short distance. Verse 20, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him.' So Gehazi pursued Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, 'Is all well?' And he said, 'All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Indeed, just now 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give to them a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments.'" And so we see here that Gehazi is lying, and he wants these 2 talents of silver and 2 changes of clothing for himself. And in verse 23 reads, "So Naaman said, 'Please take 2 talents, and he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments, and handed them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. And when he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. 25. And now he went in and stood before his master Elisha and said to him, 'Where did you go, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant did not go anywhere.'" And so here he is lying once again. "Then he said to him, 'Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and time to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants?'" Verse 27. "Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you forever and your descendants forever." And he went out from his presence, leprous and as white as snow. I'm sure this was quite a shock for Gehazi. But we read in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Gehazi lied to Elisha and also stole. And so he received the penalty of his sin. For the third story, we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 26 and verse 1. Chapter 26 and verse 1. We read about the king of Israel. I'm sorry, Judah. Excuse me. "Now the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah." So we see here he was only a young man of 16. But let's read what he did. Verse 2, "He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And in verse 4, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosperous. He sought the Lord, and therefore God blessed him. Let's jump to verse 16. So we see that, let's read verse 16 first. But when he was strong in his heart and was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. This was a sacred rite only given to the Levites of God. Verse 17, so Azariah the priest went in with him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests and the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord upon the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. And so they thrust him out of that place. And indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. In verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. And he dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was king, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So even though we read in verse 2 of chapter 26 that he was a good king and he had done right in the sight of the Lord, he became vain because of all the Lord had blessed him. And he started to think, oh, it's only me. It's all me. And so we see how hard it is to avoid one extreme and not run into another extreme. Pride of heart was at the bottom of his sin. And we read in Proverbs 16 and verse 1, the pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And in verse 19 it says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide spoil with the proud. Instead of lifting up the name of God in gratitude to him who had done so much for him, his heart was lifted up to his hurt. And he was punished for his transgression, and he was cast out as a leper, shut from society. And so in these short few stories, we have seen the ties between leprosy and sin. That is not to say today that if you sin, you will become leprous. But rather that sin, like leprosy, is a deadly disease. And without care and attention, we can and will become sicker and sicker till we die, both physically and spiritually. So now, I'd like to look at the leprosy laws that God gave to Moses. And as we go through these laws, I will tie in the spiritual aspect of the laws today as we are spiritual Israel. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 13, Leviticus 13, we can see the laws concerning leprosy, and it also goes into chapter 14. But I won't read both of these full chapters, just parts of them. We'll read how the law interpreted leprosy. In chapter 13, the law treated leprosy in a man, in a house, and in fabrics, But today I'm going to focus just on the part that dealt with leprosy and man. In verses 1 through 28, we read that it was the priest who was to decide whether leprosy was in its dangerous forms when appearing on the skin. It was only the priest who could say whether or not a person had leprosy. So we'll read verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a man has on the skin or on his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean." So it was only the priest who could say whether or not the person had leprosy. He could not heal him. And so today we have a law which convicts us of sin. In Romans, keep your finger here in Leviticus, but in Romans 13 and verse 19. There's not a verse 19 in Romans 13. That could be a problem. This is Romans 3 and verse 19. Romans 3 and verse 19, and it says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth should be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." And it's through this law that we have the knowledge of sin. We must carefully examine and judge our own spiritual state as defined by the law, so that we can change before the law takes effect. And so there were certain marks by which the priest could tell if there was leprosy on the skin, and that whole chapter of 13 deals with this. And so we must be careful ourselves and be aware of these marks on our own hearts, and be sure to repent of sin in a timely manner. Turn to 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 9. "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desires, and what zeal, and what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter." You turn back to Leviticus chapter 13 and in verse 40. I'll read to verse 44. Actually, let's jump to verse 43. "Then the priest shall examine it, and indeed if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head, or if his bald forehead has the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body," verse 44, "he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean, his sore is on his head." And so we see that the priest was to give instructions for the removal of the leper from all social contact. Verse 45. "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' And he shall be unclean all the days he has a sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp." This was so that everyone might avoid him for fear of being defiled. He was to live outside the camp, and all the Israelites were not to touch him. And we today should do our utmost best to not come and talk, to come in contact with sin. We must do everything we can to avoid it. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, Paul gives us instruction about sin. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And then also in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. So we read that, we just read that we are the temple of God. So 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We jump back to Leviticus, and I'll be going to the 14th chapter. Whereas chapter 13 dealt with what was to be done with a leper if leprosy was found, chapter 14 has to do with the cleansing of lepers and how a leprous person was to be allowed back into the camp. But this was a long process, and it was split into two rituals. So we see the first ritual was to be done outside of the camp, in verse 1. Well, I won't read this, it's a long part here, but if you jump to verse 8, it says, he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp, and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head, and his beard and his eyebrows, all his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes, and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And in verse 10, and on the eighth day you shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. So we see he was still unclean for 7 days, but on the eighth day he could go to the tabernacle of meeting with the priest and offer his offerings. The offerings on this last day were very long and very demanding. Therefore, I won't read about the whole process, which pretty much lasts the rest of the chapter. And they are from verses 10 to 32. But it goes to show how seriously God takes the issue of leprosy, but also that of sin. Therefore, we must take care, brethren, that we have the remission of our sins, and we must take care of them with caution and cleanse ourselves from these sins. It says in Philemon 2 and verse 1, and he has made you alive, who were once dead in trespasses and sins. Also in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, I'm sorry, it wasn't Philemon, it was actually Ephesians. I missed the E. So Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so now we have looked at the ties between sin and leprosy. But for the third part, where exactly does faith come into this equation? If you turn to Luke 17 and verse 11, we read a very remarkable story about 10 lepers and how they asked Christ for help. Luke 17 and verse 11. And now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there he met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. His reply was simply these instructions, go, show yourselves to the priest. And this was all that Christ said to them. What is interesting is that all lepers did start on their way to show themselves to the priests. And as they went, they were healed. But most importantly, this account describes something that we as Christians need to always keep in mind, especially as we attempt to exercise the faith that is this way of life is built upon. The bottom half of verse 14, it says, and so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. So it is with us, brethren. We have Christ's instructions. We know what to do, just as these 10 lepers knew. Our answer and our duty is found to in obedience to God and his instructions. We have nothing else but this knowledge to act upon. Continue in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now the Jews looked down upon the Samaritans as being inferior. However, it was only this one Samaritan that was willing to come back and to thank God for the healing. In verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go on your way, your faith has made you well. And so we see that faith has to be an integral part in our lives. If you turn to James 5, verse 5. I'm all over the place today. Verse 15, excuse me. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So James tells us here that prayer, coupled with faith, will equal forgiveness of our sins. But what exactly is faith? If we turn to Hebrews 11, and verse 1, we know that Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter of the Bible. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you jump to verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we have this faith, brethren, of having the evidence of things not seen, and yet believe that there is God, and there is a God, and that we must follow this way of life, then we will be able, as Christ, Christ taught in Matthew 17 and verse 20, Matthew 17 and verse 20, here Christ is talking to the disciples, and he says, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. We also have a parallel scripture in Mark 9 and verse 23. Mark 9:23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That one scripture right there, the one word if, has to be the biggest word in the English language. If you can believe. Brethren, we are here to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and we are reminding ourselves that this life is temporary, and that we are surrounded by the world and its passing pleasures of sin. But we are here today in observance of and looking forward to the millennium, and a time when there will be no more sin or leprosy, but an abundance of true faith and a willingness to learn the truth to true happiness and peace. Let us stay focused and full of faith in these end times. If you will turn with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 16. It speaks in here in Ephesians of the armor of God, how we must put on this armor. And if we look in verse 16, Ephesians 6, we read, above all things, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is just a part of the armor that we must put on, brethren, but it is most certainly a very important part of becoming a Christian soldier. Christ, our soon coming King, left us with instructions in the book of Matthew. Let's go forth, brethren, and be looking forward in faith to the kingdom which is at hand. For my last scripture today, if you'll turn to Matthew 10 and verse 7. Matthew 10, verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.